The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Established for the clear purpose of caring for veterans, keeping alive the public memory of the sacrifices of Canadians in the cause of world peace and the promotion of unity, thought and of effort among all Canadians, leading to the development of a greater nation. These eight branches are run by a small, dedicated groups of members and volunteers. I am proud to have such committed groups in our communities. I would like to thank them for their continued efforts to ensure the continuance of these great organizations for the betterment of our veterans, both old and new, to our communities. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
The National Tree Fruit Association recently held its 58th annual conference in Torrance, Nova Scotia. Halifax hosted the world, and at the awards banquet, one of King's North's longtime tree fruit horticulturalists was recognized for its achievements. The Outstanding Extension Worker Award went to Bill Craig, a tree fruit horticulturalist who recently retired from
order,
his work.
Order, please. Time allotted for member statements has expired. We'll now move on to orders of the day with oral questions put by members to ministers. The leader of the official opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Official Speaker. My question is for the official acting premier here this afternoon. Mr. Speaker, the Department of Health's own physician resource plan describes obstetrics and gynecology as a core service and actually calls for more obstetricians and gynecologists in the province, as we are 8% below the national average. And Mr. Speaker, there are places in rural Nova Scotia where we're down to one obstetrician gynecologist providing services to young women and women of all ages. In their area, I'll give an example from Cumberland County. Dr. Robin McQuarrie says that she and her colleagues are considering leaving the province, which would decimate this service in that area because the government is reneging on its deal to help obstetricians with the cost of their malpractice insurance, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the acting premier, will the government follow through on this plan to actually back out of the agreement to help obstetricians with their malpractice insurance, ensuring that our service gets worse instead of better?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question. Because of the level of detail in that question, I'm going to ask the Minister of Health to answer.
Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I'll do my best to be within 45 seconds. To the member opposite, this notification comes at a very difficult and challenging time because we are in the midst of negotiations with Doctors Nova Scotia. What I can assure the leader of the Conservative Party is that our obstetrician gynecologists and their fees, in fact, will be looked after.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate that answer. But Ms. McQuarrie, Dr. McQuarrie herself, I think, says it best when she says, and I quote, "I am very dismayed that the obstetricians and women's health center health care in the province is being held hostage as part of contract negotiations." The minister referred to contract negotiations that are ongoing. Mr. Speaker, Cumberland County is down to one obstetrician. Cape Breton has half the number of obstetricians that they need to service the women of Cape Breton Island. Mr. Speaker, this is not something that should be settled by negotiation. It is a core service, as the minister's own department describes it. But I'd like to ask the minister how he intends to make sure outside of contract negotiations, that women get the obstetrician services they need if he's going to make them pay more and more than they would pay in other provinces?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And really, the obstetrician gynecologists, their issue really is with CMPA. And that's who they really need to be challenging in terms of the dramatic rise in fees. It's interesting. I didn't hear about this issue until negotiations got underway, and it will be one of those issues addressed through the normal process of negotiations.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, their issue is not with CMPA. Their issue is with the government. Their issue was with the government that promised Nova Scotians that every family would have a doctor in this province in the last election, Mr. Speaker. Now we know that we are far short of the needed number of obstetricians to provide a core health care service. And instead of addressing that, instead of even working with obstetricians and gynecologists to find solutions to this issue, the government says they're going to negotiate having them pay far more for their insurance here than they pay in other places. And doctors like Dr. Macquarie are saying, and I'll table this, that they're looking at going elsewhere, Mr. Speaker. So I'm going to ask the government to set aside the answer of contract negotiations and assure the women of Nova Scotia, including Cumberland County, that the government will work with obstetricians to solve this problem and not negotiate it away.
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I can assure the leader of the Conservative Party that women's health is of the greatest concern to our government, and we know that during negotiations it is difficult to take one aspect, one small part, and start to negotiate outside of the larger master agreement. And what I can assure the gynecologists across Nova Scotia today is that we will work for a satisfactory agreement so that we have that historical arrangement can be kept into the future.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we've all been hearing a lot in the past few days from the creative sector in our province. And they're really afraid, Mr. Speaker, of the negative changes that could be coming to the film tax credit. Members of the industry are circulating a petition that is now more than 15,000 signatures. The title of that petition, Mr. Speaker, is Preserve the Nova Scotia Film and Digital Media Tax Credits, No Change Without Consultation. So my question to the Acting Premier, Mr. Speaker, is this. Why haven't the industry been fully consulted about negative impacts that possible changes to this tax credit could have?
Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question. I think it's something that's very topical, absolutely. Mr. Speaker, we have had discussions, I know, over many years with the industry. I've had the privilege to meet them very recently, just a week ago, to hear directly from their concerns. And I know they've done some very thoughtful submissions to the tax review and also to the consultations that we held after the tax review was received. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And all of those were after the minister started talking negatively about this film tax credit. Mr. Speaker, veteran Nova Scotia filmmaker Paul Donovan told All Nova Scotia, and I'll quote, essentially prior to the tax credit, there was no film business. Today, it's one of the province's few thriving industries. So, Mr. Speaker, the former government knew this. In fact, in November 30th, 2012, the NDP established the Film and Creative Industry Nova Scotia and moved it from finance into ERDT. This was to put more focus on a growing sector. And Mr. Speaker, it's working. So my question to the minister is, why isn't the minister recognizing the importance of the thriving industry in film and what this impact is on the Nova Scotia economy?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I can honestly say that we do see value in the industry, absolutely. I know that I've received many letters from people from around the province who speak about the value of the industry. But, Mr. Speaker, I've said here before that we do need to talk about the value of our tax dollars, how tax dollars are spent, and the value that we get back as a province, and making choices, Mr. Speaker, that are often difficult choices. At this point in time, Mr. Speaker, the industry is speculating, and so is the opposition. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, it's been almost a week since the Minister caused havoc in this industry by her comments at the Chamber of Commerce. She could end the speculation right here and now. When the firefighters confronted the minister about the volunteer firefighter tax credit, she shut that down very quickly. She's done the same with booksellers about the tax credit for books. So, Mr. Speaker, why hasn't the minister revealed her plans for the film tax credit instead of causing all of this grief and speculation, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I know there's been a number of questions in the House about other tax credits as well and other benefits. We've had questions last week about them. Mr. Speaker, all of those questions are premature because the budget is being released here on Thursday this week. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Acting Premier. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Finance last week told the Halifax Chamber of Commerce, and I quote, that 99% of the money from the film tax credit is being paid to companies that don't pay taxes here in Nova Scotia. Well, Mr. Speaker, that is just simply not the case. For example, Mr. Speaker, DHX Media is a Halifax-based film company that does take advantage of the film tax credit, and I have their financial statements here for the year just ended. In fact, they paid $3,700,000 in the combined federal and provincial corporate taxes last year alone. Mr. Speaker, I'll give the minister a chance to correct the record. Does she really believe that 99% of our homegrown companies don't pay taxes here, or is DH Media wrong?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate that. And, Mr. Speaker, one of the difficulties in talking about the film tax credit is a lack of transparency, quite frankly. Because it's related to taxes, we are not able to talk about the individual companies. In fact, I'm not to know myself as minister. I shouldn't know the individual tax situation of each of those companies. So unless they choose to make them public, we have no way to double-check them. So I just make that point. We can't be as transparent as we are with, for example, other business under NSBI or economic development.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, so much for the most transparent government in our history. DHX Media is a public company. I'm quoting public financial statements. She's making...
Order, please.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition has the floor.
They came from the World Wide Web. If she's going to make decisions about an industry that employs 2,000 people, Mr. Speaker, that actually drives jobs in the province, I would hope that she would know that, in fact, they all pay taxes here in Nova Scotia in order to attract the tax credit. I'll give you another example, Mr. Speaker. Magic Rock Productions employs hundreds of people. Every single one of them in Nova Scotia that pays taxes here in the province of Nova Scotia. Last year alone, they brought $26 million in new investment to our province. All of that's at risk right
Order,
now, Mr.
Please.
Speaker.
Order, so please. Time allotted for the member's question has expired. The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, young professionals in the culture sector were already hit once by the McNeill government when their graduate retention rebate was eliminated with nothing done to replace it. After comments made by the finance minister about people working in the creative industry, I'm hearing from these same young people again this spring. Many talented young Nova Scotians have often had to go down the road to find careers that will pay well, as I once had to do, Mr. Speaker. But now, with the film tax credit, which was renewed and strengthened under our NDP government, many young people can build a career here at home. Will the finance minister please explain why she is causing young people working in the creative economy to once more have to consider going down the road.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And again, the members opposite is definitely speculating about items that will be in the budget this year. The statement I can make is that we are, as a government, working very diligently to look at the issues of demographics and the concern that that creates to our taxpaying base and to our vitality as a province. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I have to say that sounds like a bunch of government speak to me. I don't think people in the industry are going to appreciate an answer like that, and they haven't appreciated most of the answers that they have received from this government on this regard. The NDP government, on the other hand, improved the tax credit after consultation with the industry. We removed the total production cap, which led to a boost in film, TV, and animation jobs in our province. So my question, Mr. Speaker, the industry has been advised by the Finance Minister that changes are coming, but without consultation, everyone from the Trailer Park Boys in Truro to the cast and crew of Haven on the South Shore, here with my friend beside me, will be affected. Will the Minister of Finance assure the casts and crews, especially of Trailer Park Boys, who have been speaking to her directly, and Haven, that her changes to the film tax credit will not cause their productions to have to leave this province for pastures greener?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And there are just a few things that I said at the chamber speech, and they remain true. Mr. Speaker, the value of a payroll rebate is 7 to 10% maximum for any other company, any industry in this province. And the value for the film industry is up to 65% of their eligible labour costs are paid by taxpayers. Mr. Speaker, those are kind of stark figures, and they deserve to be looked at. I think Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker, need to know how we spend our money, what credits are out there, and they need to be considered.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition. Order, please. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, Black Rock Productions is a Nova Scotia film production company that brought in $26 million in direct investment in our province last year, the most notable being the Lizzie Borden Chronicles, which, by the way, employed 160 Nova Scotians. Every single one of them pays tax in the province of Nova Scotia, and the company pays tax in Nova Scotia. So I'd like to ask the Minister of Finance, does she still stand by her statement that 99% of film companies do not pay tax in Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm really glad that the member opposite, the leader of the official opposition, has rephrased his question, because it is something that's important to note. One thing that could be leading to the misunderstanding between us, between the two members here, is that the production industry for film is set up so that they create one company for the production. They may have a parent company, but they set up separate companies for each production, and that production company only has expenses. It has no revenue. It does not market the product. It doesn't export the product, so it has no revenue, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And although we do appreciate the accounting lesson from the Minister of Finance, it makes it even more egregious that she stood in front of the chamber and said 99% of companies don't pay tax, when every single one of those parent companies, in fact, are taxpayers in the province of Nova Scotia. It was, at best, a misleading statement, if not a misinformed one, and it has caused real turmoil in the film industry where 2,000 Nova Scotians currently work. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the Minister of Finance on their behalf to end the turmoil now while they have a chance, while they're booking new work, and assure them the film tax credit will be there for them next year.
Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate that. Mr. Speaker, it is very important to look at the accounting of this. The structure of the industry is such that the production companies will never show profit, and therefore it's not really a tax credit, because the companies receive the funds. irrespective of whether or not there's any profit in the company. That's the point. A difference between a refundable and a non-refundable tax credit, and I would expect that the members opposite, particularly the Leader of the Opposition, would know that.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today is for the Minister of Energy. Under the former Minister of Energy, there was a lot of talk of imposing service standards on Nova Scotia Power. Following his resignation, we haven't heard too much about service standards, and we do not see it on the legislative agenda for this spring sitting. This means that Nova Scotians will go into another storm season without any hope of standards that hold Nova Scotia Power to account. So my question for the Minister today is the government looking at service standards for Nova Scotia Power?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Mr. Speaker, our government undertook a review of the electricity system in this province, probably the most comprehensive review that's ever been undertaken. And Mr. Speaker, we have just recently released what we heard from Nova Scotians regarding that review to allow them to once again have input into those discussions. Mr. Speaker, following that, our staff will look at what we've heard, and we fully intend to bring forward a comprehensive legislative package based on the electricity review in the fall sitting.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm glad the Minister referred to the electricity review, because the government's own electricity review noted that those who participated in the process were largely supportive of legislative performance standards. And this is a simple action that the government could take to provide relief to Nova Scotians. This government came to power talking about changing our electricity system. And this fall will mark 2 years without any meaningful changes on rate relief. So my question for the Minister is, how much longer will Nova Scotians expect to wait before Nova Scotia Power is held responsible for service standards and electricity rates are reduced?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Speaker, it's almost amusing. On the one hand, we have the opposition saying our government has not consulted enough on certain matters, and yet on this one, then they would argue we've consulted too much. Mr. Speaker, we have undertaken the most comprehensive review of our electrical system here in Nova Scotia. We've allowed Nova Scotians to have their say into that. We have looked at their input. We've shared that again with them just so that they could see what we've heard. We will take that package back together. And as I've indicated, Mr. Speaker, the member will have the opportunity, as will all Nova Scotians, to see the legislative package this fall, which I am sure will bring with it very rigorous and fruitful debate.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you to the Minister of Health. Our understanding, after much lobbying in this House for dialysis to be set up at Hants Community Hospital in Windsor, that it will in fact go to the Valley Regional Hospital in Kempville, and I wonder if the Minister could confirm that, number one, but number two, most importantly, time frame for that to be set up and in place.
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for Hants West for bringing this question to the floor of the legislature. First of all, I want to say that he's been a very long-time proponent and ardent advocate of getting some dialysis for his area. We know that we have a provincial renal program, and Kentville is the next site that will be developed. And within a matter of days, I think we'll have some information about that fact.
The Honourable Member for Hants West on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for that answer. I would then ask, given that the move will be in Kempville, where a majority will travel, and there's some 35 to 40 consistently traveling for dialysis treatment, unfortunately, out of the Hants West area, their biggest concern is always travel. How am I going to get there? Will the government or the minister and his department consider an option for travel and work through maybe some logistics to make that happen to ease the burdens in the minds of these folks and their families in receiving their dialysis treatment?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I want to convey to the member opposite that I am prepared to provide him with a copy of the detailed analysis that was done for his area, and also to speak to some of the recommendations that were brought forward. And I will do that for the member within the next 2 weeks.
The Honourable House Leader for the NDP Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The question today is for the Minister of Health. The Chronicle Herald is reporting the cost of severance for the laid-off executives of the former District Health Authority is going to be around $4.8 million. However, the Minister's office can't tell us how many of those executives will be taking severance. In fact, says that they won't know for months. And I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. $4.8 million is a very exact number. If the Minister doesn't know how many executives are taking severance, can he tell us how he arrived at that number?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And 4.8 that has been presented by the department is the maximum, the upper figure that it would cost for those severance.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
So how do you get that number? You must anticipate some people leaving. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotian deserves to know the true cost of the reorganization of the healthcare system. During the election, the Premier said his plan would save $13 million a year. However, with the severance costs the government is paying out or going to pay out almost $5 million to those laid-off executives. So I'd like to ask the Minister, can the Minister tell us why the McNeill government has saved $13 million as promised in the election, but instead has spent an additional $4 million on severance?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In this first year of the startup of the One Provincial Health Authority, we knew we would have a one-time cost. What I am most pleased about is the savings that will be going forward. We decided to work with the CEOs. We have eight less. VPs, we have about 35 less currently. That is just, as we know, one level of management in the healthcare system. Further savings will be realized as we move to the next level of management.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister responsible for Public Service Commission. 2011 employee survey for the Public Service Commission showed that 21% of Public Service Commission employees had experienced bullying behaviour in the last 12 months. In the same survey, 4% of the PSC employees reported racism and/or discrimination in the last 12 months. As we get ready for belt tightening across the public sector, it's possible that we will see tensions rise. What actions has the Minister taken to ensure the Public Service Commission is a safe workplace?
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the member for that question. When our government took office, Mr. Speaker, myself and the Premier went through many various departments, engaged the Public Service Commission. We have gone through the province right up to Sydney and Cape Breton, met with our public servants that do an excellent job every day with engaging them. We have opened up the communications with them. The Premier has an email that any public servant can speak to him directly with any suggestions they have for making government better. And, Mr. Speaker, this has shown to been paying back extreme dividends as the public service is actually a lot more efficient and they are a lot happier. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on our final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the department's own website says it is working to provide best practices in human resource management in order to establish the government of Nova Scotia as a preferred employer. However, in the 2013 survey, 31% of the department's employees reported having been bullied, 5% reported racism and/or discrimination. They spent $108,000 on soul spaces and truth-telling instead on real issues in the workplace. I'm wondering if the minister can tell me, instead of spending money on feel-good nonsense like creating soul spaces, why the minister is not cracking down on bullies in his own department.
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, we didn't spend one red cent. What the member opposite meant to say is that we invested money in the Public Service Commission. Mr. Speaker, the amount is...
Order, please. The Honorable Minister of the Public Service Commission has the floor.
Misleading, and with two CAs on that side, I figured they'd understand that the province of Nova Scotia doesn't pay HST. So with that, I would like to thank the work that was done by this consultant. The consultant came into the Public Service Commission and actually worked every single day, and the contract was for 6 to 12 months. Mr. Speaker, I will be tabling my department's budget this. The Minister of Finance will be tabling the budgets, and my department will show the great work that it has done in terms of streamlining what we do in the Public Service Commission and saving the taxpayer money, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal. Last week, the Department of Transportation put out its weekly traffic update. It listed the Melanson Mills Bridge in Digby County, the Crowdis Bridge in Inverness County, the Whitman Bridge in Kings County, and the Gillis's Bridge in Victoria County as all being closed. And, Mr. Speaker, I'll table that document. My question to the Minister is, how can none of these closed bridges in the province last week be on the list for repair or rehabilitation for 2015-16, especially the Whitman Bridge in Kings County that was scheduled for repairs for 2015-16 just in last year's five-year plan?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Honourable Member for the question. Obviously, with these bridges, we do have a number, several thousand bridges in our inventory in this province, and the reality is that as these bridges come due for very expensive repairs or, in fact, complete replacement, we look at each case individually to see what has to be done. There's obviously a range from that full-scale replacement to the repairs that can solidify the bridge and keep it going for some time, and obviously it's across the entire province, Mr. Speaker, so there are options for our department. When we look at the bridges and those that are closed, that are due for repairs, there are ways we can do that outside the capital plan and having that long-term plan. We can look at some short-term measures. So I can assure the member that with all those bridges mentioned, we are looking at what options are available, and we'll make sure we consult the community before doing anything.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the five-year highway improvement plan for this year, it says a new bridge will be built in Annapolis County called the Leonard Bridge Shore Road West. I'm sorry. This project has been identified as a multi-year project. This project has never been on any of the five-year highway improvement plans prior to this year, while many other projects that were listed for this year will not be done. So my question for the Deputy Premier is, what is the cost of this multi-year bridge project, and why has it moved up the list of priorities so quickly?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Again, that has a level of detail that I think the Department of Transportation Minister should answer.
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, when we identify bridges and highway and repaving plans for the five-year capital plan, there are a number of variables in the equation. I can certainly get specifics on the bridge that the member refers to, but I will assure the member here and all members of this House and all Nova Scotians, when it comes to transportation infrastructure, we don't apply politics at any point. We're not jumping bridges depending on their location. This is about Nova Scotians and keeping things safe, Mr. Speaker. The bridges that are under review are in ridings, and all members of the House under all parties. So this is not about politics. Nothing's jumping the list because of the political stripe. We're doing this for the betterment of the people of the province. Thank you very much.
The Honourable House Leader for the NDP Party.
Nova Scotians are worried about the state of their health care system. As they see an unprecedented number of nurses retire, Mr. Speaker, long wait times and ER closures across the province, the Minister of Health keeps telling Nova Scotians to wait until May when he introduces a nursing strategy. Yesterday, the CBC disclosed that there are 135 vacancies across Nova Scotia and quoted Janet Hazelton, president of the Nova Scotia Nurses Union, as saying too many nurses are coming up for retirement and there aren't enough new grads to fill their shoes. So I'd like to ask the Minister, why do Nova Scotians have to wait till May to learn about what the McNeill government is going to do to fix the nursing shortage?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. As the former health minister knows, we have a large cohort now of nurses who are 55 years and over, and eligible for retirement in the province. One of the areas that we had a challenge with in our first year was in fact when the previous government cut $500,000 from the nursing strategy. So it actually took us a little longer to roll out the nursing strategy. But I think he and his caucus and all Nova Scotians will be very pleased with what we bring forth in May.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, communities are feeling the nursing shortage today. In April, Mr. Speaker, the problem of nursing shortages isn't news to the Minister of Health, but I understand why he hasn't been able to focus on it, as he's been distracted over the last year and a half picking fights with those nurses, Mr. Speaker, rather than improving their working conditions and giving them the resources they need to do their jobs. The Minister of Health says he's going to solve the problem by hoping that new graduates will move back to Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, given the late timing of the nursing strategy, can the Minister explain why he has spent the last year picking fights with nurses and not addressing the issues that are causing nurses to leave?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And overall, in Nova Scotia, we're at a very, very good place. We have the most nurses registered currently in the province. We know that we do have a question with mobility because of past arrangements. We're hoping that we'll see that open up in the future to allow a nurse to work anywhere in the province, and that would very quickly solve our problems, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Through you to the Minister of Health and Wellness. Presently, the government is helping young Nova Scotians who are less than 19 years of age with the cost of an insulin pump and pump supplies. Young adults under the age of 25 are helped with the cost of insulin pumps. And when the NDP shut the door on additional insulin pump coverage in 2011, the finance minister, the now finance minister, said insulin pumps can make a huge difference in the lifestyle of patients, most of whom are young people. I will table a copy of that statement in the Chronicle-Herald that day in 2011. So my question to the minister is, the promise was made to provide all Nova Scotians with an insulin pump by the second year of their mandate. Will the minister ensure that 1,400 Nova Scotians who either do not have a pump or are forced to find their own financing have won this fiscal year?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. As the member knows very well, thanks to the previous government and to all members of this House advocating for the insulin pump, which can be a wonderful means of providing consistent insulin and, in fact, deriving much better health outcomes. That program to get up to 25 years of age is now well advanced and continues to get pick up each and every week in our province.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I do thank the Minister for that answer, but it really didn't go to what is the expansion of this program. What is it going to be? Because in the last election, the Liberals did promise that every Nova Scotian that needed a insulin pump would get an insulin pump. That's an extra $4.1 million. We have a budget coming up. So can the minister confirm today whether there'll be an expansion of that program so those who need an insulin pump will be able to get it?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And we know that to make all Nova Scotians informed about what program is there for them. In fact, just getting up to 18, as the former government knows, in fact, took quite some time and, in fact, had a very low level of pickup. As we move up to 25 years of age, it's very, very important that we make sure that the program is implemented in the strongest manner and made known to Nova Scotians, and that's what we're presently doing.
The The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal. Mr. Speaker, having heard the Minister in his last answer say that this was not a political decision, my question to him would be simply this. Could he provide the rationale behind the reason why this bridge has been moved ahead and supply it to this host by the end of the week?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank the member for that question. When it comes to these capital projects or any projects under the auspices of TIR, there's always exact engineering. The work that's done on the ground by our officials is second to none, so I have absolutely the greatest confidence in our staff, Mr. Speaker, and I'd be happy to get the member and the House that information. I can table it before the end of the week.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Certainly, I want to thank the Minister for that answer, and there's no question that we have some of the finest engineers in the country working for TIR, and we're very proud of the work they do. The reason that questions are asked, Mr. Speaker, is to make sure that the ministers have a chance to excel in their answers to tell people what a great job that their employees are doing. And with that in mind, Mr. Speaker, I was wondering if the minister could allow and also supply us with the information on the four bridges that are closed as to what will be happening to those bridges, seeing that there is nothing in the five-year plan for them.
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and again, I thank the member for the question. Again, those bridges, and I've had many conversations about all four with the respective members who have those bridges in their community. Certainly, there truly is a range between the full replacement and what it would be required to make quick repairs that could get the bridges reopened, given volume, given the weight of the trucks that pass by those roads. So, again, they are case by case, but I can certainly look at the details from each one and get back to the member. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my question is also to the Minister of TIR. Mr. Speaker, people who use our provincial ferries are trying to tell the McNeill government that driving up costs for this transportation link will have unintended consequences. Today on the radio, we heard Phyllis Price, a resident of the South Shore, publicly worrying that driving prices up will mean ridership will go down. If that happens, Ms. Price worries lower ridership could be the first step in justifying an end to these vital links. My question, Mr. Speaker, can the minister tell us exactly what analysis he's done on how increased costs will affect ridership on our provincial ferries?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At the end of the day, look, these decisions are tough. We made the decisions on ferries based on the cost that it is to operate our seven runs, three of those being island ferries, versus the $9 million for cost versus the $1 million in revenue that we were at. These are tough choices, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, the alternative is ending those services. We heard loud and clear from Nova Scotians from end to end of this province that was not something that was viable. So that's why we had to try to close the gap, Mr. Speaker. We're certainly not in a cost recoverable mode with the increases, but we picked numbers that were modest based on the current system. And what people really could absorb. So that was the decision, Mr. Speaker. We know it's tough, and we're working with local officials, representatives, and stakeholders to have these conversations. We are getting feedback for sure, Mr. Speaker, but at the end of the day, we have to look at the cost of services and do our best to bring up the revenues to pay for those services.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, I know that the minister coming from rural Nova Scotia realizes just how hard hitting this is for those people that need these linkages to get to work. And the McNeill government has said everybody has to be ready to feel some pain. But they forgot to mention that the people affected by the McNeill tax hikes and program cuts would have to have no say in how these changes affect their lives. So, Mr. Speaker, why does the government think it's okay to ignore ferry passengers in Little Narrows, Lehave, Englishtown, Country Harbour, Tankook, and Petite Passage?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly, our government's not ignoring the people of those areas. We understand the impact on the community. But again, the reality is we wanted to protect those services, Mr. Speaker. If you look at all Nova Scotians, certainly the opposition talk about fiscal prudence and being responsible with taxpayers' dollars. We had to look at what this cost of these services were collectively, look at the revenues that were collected, and try to find somewhat of the balance. Again, we're certainly not covering these costs by way of the price increases. And, Mr. Speaker, specifically with the 10 pass, you're talking about a system that subsidized 8 of every 10 trips. I don't think that would be reasonable. We thought that the focus would be on the annual passes for the island ferries and for those that have alternative routes as well. We tried to be fair, Mr. Speaker, and we'll continue the discussions with the communities to make sure that we're doing the best interest for all Nova Scotians. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Agriculture. Mr. Speaker, the Liberal campaign platform promised to re-establish the land drainage program to improve land productivity and put new land into production. It was scheduled to be re-established to happen this fiscal year. The platform says the program will cost $600,000, and I will table that document out of the Liberal campaign platform. My question, Mr. Speaker, for the Minister is this. Will the farmland drainage program be introduced in this year's budget?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This is an important program, and as the Premier has said on many occasions, all the platform promises made by this government will be carried out.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the Minister for the answer to that question. I'm wondering if the Minister could not be more specific. The question was, will it be in this year's budget as promised in the platform?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
The Honourable Member will have to wait till the budget is presented on Thursday.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Fisheries and Aquaculture. Nova Scotia's Christmas tree industry is vital to the economic health of our province. These producers generate roughly $52 million in revenue each year. In order for this business to remain viable, proper infrastructure must be in place. In Lunenburg County, one Christmas tree lot is accessed from the Stanburn Road, which is a K-class road, unmaintained and unlisted road. This road is often in terrible condition and does not receive maintenance or upkeep. The cost incurred by vehicles and trailers as a result of damage from the terrible conditions is well into the tens of thousands. My question to the Minister, will the Minister urge his Cabinet colleague to change the destination of the Stanburn Road so that such an important economic driver does not suffer due to lack of access?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the member official opposition for bringing this forward. I have indeed spoken to the individuals, at least one of the individuals, that have a problem in that area, and we are looking into this. It's an issue that really is through the Department of Transportation and Public Works.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, economic benefit and impact should be considered when choosing a road to be unlisted or unmaintained. We cannot afford to let rural industries like this suffer because of something as easily remedied as the state of the road. My question to the Minister, will the Minister of Agriculture insist that his Cabinet colleague take economic benefit into consideration when designating a road as K-class?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you very much. It's the economic benefit of agriculture in this province is very important to all of us, and indeed we will be working on that, and we will work with the community to see what we can do.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The provincial government usually covers about 90% of the medical malpractice insurance fees for specialists like obstetricians who support women with pregnancy, childbirth, and in postpartum period. But, Mr. Speaker, just a few days ago, someone within the McNeill government told Doctors Nova Scotia that they were refusing to do that this year. And that caused some concerns for obstetricians like Robin McCrory. We've heard in a previous question and some of our colleagues to worry about a reduction in services throughout our province, especially in rural Nova Scotia. So I'd like to ask the Minister, why was that information relayed to Doctors Nova Scotia if the government has changed their mind just in a short 3 days?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and pleased to speak to this issue. But we know that, again, historically, those fees and coverage for many physician fees are done within the master agreement. That is currently going on in the province. Those negotiations are proceeding. What I can assure the member opposite, we are very, very cognizant of the fact that these fees, in fact, by CMPA, have almost doubled this year.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
That still didn't answer the question, Mr. Speaker. Somebody told Doctors Nova Scotia that the government were not going to cover that this year. These fees are going from about $20,000 to about $51,000. So here's another example of the government creating chaos in a sector, and one that's extremely important to rural Nova Scotia. CBC did a report on this on April 2nd, Mr. Speaker. No one was available from the Department of Health to make comments. Why wouldn't they make themselves available to clear the air and ensure Nova Scotians that they have access to obstetrics in rural Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly made myself available to the media and explained that in fact we were concerned about the rate increase. I believe it's an area where we need some feedback and justification from CMPA. Right across Canada, these fees are covered to a percentage of the total, and the obstetrician gynecologist will see exactly how that unfolds in the very near future.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, we can all agree many doors can close for graduates without a solid foundation in math. Grade 11 academic math will be extended to a full year, two-credit course, while academic math 10 and academic math 11 class size enrollment will be capped at 24. My question to the Minister, will other high school classes increase in size due to this cap, and is a total cap of 24 a soft cap?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the question, and I will attempt to answer that. We understand that the math scores in this province are not as good as any of us would like them to be, and so our focus is certainly going to be on how we can bring about improvement in that particular subject, starting in primary and working our way up. But we also recognize
order,
that at the
please.
High
school... Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers have expired. We'll now move on to government business. But before we do that, the Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise on a point of order. Mr. Speaker, during question period today, the Minister of Health indicated that the previous government had taken a cut $500,000 out of the nursing strategy. Mr. Speaker, $500,000 was moved from the Department of Health to the Department of Labour and Advanced Education for the nursing strategy under the previous administration. So I just want to correct that information, that misinformation that was put on the record by the Minister of Health.
That's not a point of order. That's a disagreement of facts. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Speaker, would you please call